When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Welcome to Stacking the Box, and Kirk Cousins is an Atlanta Falcon. Woo! Ian McMillan, Sterling Holmes here once again. We are now, 24 hours into NFL free agency? A ton of signings. We were going to go through all of them and also talk about other players that will be signing here soon. Breaking news right before we went live, Sterling, and I was going to talk about Darnell Mooney and how I hope the Falcons sign him. Well, they just did 8 minutes ago. So Falcons are looking great. I'm in a great mood. Sterling, how are you?
I am good. Falcons win off seasons while the Chiefs win Super Bowls, but it's fun, man. If you are a team and last year you got bounced, 31 other teams that needed to improve, I think even the Chiefs need to improve. You have to be happy right now. We'll get to all of that. I think a lot of teams did well. I think a lot of teams, I'm sitting here going, what are you doing? And a lot of teams, I don't think, realize that they can sign players yet. So a lot to get into, but I'm doing well.
Yes, there is a lot to get into. And before we get into all that stuff, I need to let you know about DraftKings Sportsbook, because if you haven't signed up for DraftKings, make sure you get your first bet on them. New customers will get a second chance bet up to $1,000 when signing up with our promo code STB. That means if your first bet loses, you will get your full wager returned as a bonus bet up to $1,000. Signing up using our code STB not only covers your first bet, but also gets you access to daily rewards and other profit boosts. If you're looking to join DraftKings, go download the app and register with our promo code STB to make sure that your first bet is covered. This offer is only available to new customers who are 21 plus and physically present in legal gambling states. Please remember to always gamble responsibly. Check the episode description for the full terms of the offer to see if you qualify. Yes, sign up for DraftKings, use the code STB, and you can go ahead and bet on the Falcons to win the Super Bowl. I think they're 30-1 right now. Their odds improved. I bet them a couple weeks ago because I knew they were going to sign Kirk Cousins, because I talked to Kirk Cousins. I was the one who pitched the Falcons to Kirk Cousins. I should be getting a cut of that contract if I'm being completely honest. So I bet the Falcons a couple weeks ago 50-1. I think they're 30-1 right now. Let me double check at DraftKings. But you won't find a better bet to win the Super Bowl right now, ladies and gentlemen, than the Atlanta Falcons at 25-1. Oh, their odds are getting even shorter. Even the odds makers know that the Falcons are Super Bowl contenders. Let's go.
No, they're playing in the worst division in football. NFC South is not two. It's three scoops of ass. And then you have the Falcons, who are going to automatically make the playoffs. And that's the only reason why. They're getting bounced in the NFC. They're getting bounced by any team.
By who?
49ers.
It's a bunch of bums in the NFC.
49ers.
49ers.
Niners would wax the Falcons, dog.
Liam brings up a question. Got to question why the Falcons were unwilling to trade and pay for Lamar last offseason, but were happy to a year later to pay a 36-year-old. Well, I would say because I don't think Lamar Jackson was ever actually available, to be completely honest. They did come out and say that they weren't going to try to get him, but yeah, they thought they had something in Desmond Ridder. I thought that we had something in Desmond Ridder. Turns out we didn't. Hey, I'm fine with Kirk Cousins. I'm ecstatic with Kirk Cousins. I'm not living in the past. I'm not thinking about Lamar Jackson. Hunter says San Francisco, Packers, Lions. Falcons are better than Packers and Lions now. They're probably on par with the 49ers. So you have the 49ers and Falcons play. The odds are probably a pick 'em. They crush the Packers and Lions. So there you go.
There's zero chance this dude is serious right now.
All right, let's get it. Let's get into biggest winners and losers from this past week. I will start biggest winner, me. I am the biggest winner this week because I personally recruited Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. If you haven't seen that interview, it's up on Stack in the Box YouTube page from mid-January. I made the pitch. Kirk Cousins said something along the lines of, that was one of the better pitches I've ever heard. And now 2 months later, he has signed with the Falcons. So I am a winner because the Falcons have already won the offseason. We still have the draft to go where they have the number 8 overall pick. So I can't wait for the NFL season to start. I can't wait. We might not lose a game.
Kirk Cousins, we
just got the Matt Stafford. When Matt Stafford went to the Rams, that's what we just got with Kirk Cousins in Atlanta. He's going to lead us to a Super Bowl, and it's going to be glorious.
I can't wait for the Falcons to draft a running back in the first round.
No, stop.
That's what I can't wait for.
We're getting a pass rusher, Dallas Turner, and then we have our Super Bowl roster.
I need to keep you grounded. I wasn't going to cash in this bet because I felt bad, but now I'm going to cash in the dinner bet that you and I had this week because things are going too good for Ian. The Falcons are looking good. I like their offseason moves so far, but I got to keep Ian grounded, like how their offense is going to be in the season, grounded. I get it. Arthur Smith's gone. They're still going to feed Tyler Allgeier way too many times a game. All right. My biggest winner, Raiders. Weird to say. Hate saying it. The Raiders. I love the Christian Wilkins move. Phenomenal move. That was elite. And then Gardner Minshew is an underrated move they made. I'm not saying the Raiders are a great team right now. I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. But they've made some good moves that typically the Raiders would bungle. They got out of a very large running back contract, Josh Jacobs, right? I think he's a really good player, but he's been injured. It's a large contract he received for a running back. I think that's a smart move to not re-sign him. And then again, Gardner Minshew, I think, is your starting quarterback unless you draft a guy and you want a guy to sit. Gardner's done it with Trevor Lawrence. He's done it with Anthony Richardson. He is a back-end starting quarterback, obviously, but he's a phenomenal backup. I don't think Aiden O'Connell's that dude. Sorry, Aiden. You have a wispy mustache. You're very nice in person. I loved interviewing you. I think Gardner Minshew's a better quarterback right now than he is. So if you draft a quarterback in the first round, who better to teach than Gardner? Gardner Minshew's going to get bounced around the NFL doing this for a long, long time. He's going to make himself a lot of money doing this. But I actually have liked the moves the Raiders have made, which, again, very surprising knowing the Raiders.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I actually completely missed the Gardner Minshew news. I don't know how I missed that. But, yeah, I think that's a pretty solid signing for them, especially if they decide to go quarterback in this draft.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
My biggest loser is the Pittsburgh Steelers. They got the former Falcons head coach Arthur Smith to be their offensive coordinator, and then they signed Russell Wilson to be their quarterback. Is there going to be a quarterback battle, or is Russell Wilson just going to be their starter? I don't know about that, but that is going to be if Russell Wilson starts, that offense is going to be so painful to watch. I'm going to try to avoid watching any Steelers games next year. So I would say the Steelers, I would be so pissed off if I was a Steelers fan. You get Arthur Smith as your offensive coordinator and Russell Wilson as your quarterback. That's a recipe for disaster.
That's check down central, baby. Yeah. I will say it's like the veteran minimum contract for us because the Broncos are on the hook for all the money, like 38 some million.
Sure.
So it's a $1.7 million contract. It's not a lot. Which is hilarious to say 1.7 million is not a lot in like the grand scheme of life. And then you're talking about football though. And you're like, yeah, it's as pennies. I don't mind the Russ signing.
Oh,
I don't mind it.
But well, but we know,
it's no money.
We know what Russell Wilson is. Not like Russell Wilson is like a young quarterback.
Sure. And they went 9-8 last year with a Duck Hodges, Mason Rudolph, and then Kenny Pickett. Like again, why wouldn't you take a higher floor guy? Russell Wilson wasn't good last year, but he was better than those guys. I don't know.
I think I'd rather go back with Kenny Pickett.
No, I think you'd probably go Kenny Pickett, but if he struggles again, he's better than Mason Rudolph.
Sure.
Like I actually do not hate that move for the Steelers. It doesn't make them like a contender, but if they went, 9-8 last year with that hodgepodge of quarterbacks. Now, who knows what the rest of the roster is going to look like, Deontay Johnson and the like, right? But I don't hate the move because you're not paying him hardly anything.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough.
My biggest loser, I want to say the Bears because Justin Fields, dude, you couldn't trade him to the Raiders because yep. Now they're going with Gardner. You didn't trade him to the plethora of other teams that you thought about, the Falcons being one. They're now off the board. The Commanders maybe the only team really left. Like who is going to trade for Justin Fields? And who's going to trade more than a fifth for Justin Fields at this point? I mean, they really bungled this. They didn't really make a lot of moves that I thought they have so much cap space to work with. They didn't make any game changing moves. I was kind of let down by the Bears. You know, if you're going to bring in and draft Caleb Williams, which is seemingly the move, You didn't really bolster your offensive line a ton. You didn't sit here and give him a ton of extra weapons. I mean, again, I don't like Darnell Mooney a lot, but you let him go. You could have overpaid. They didn't. I don't really understand the Bears' game plan at this point. They're getting back into to what they had with Justin Fields, which is, okay, we draft a quarterback. We don't want to pay because we have a rookie quarterback, but then you have no idea what he is because there's no weapons around him. You're doing the same cycle over and over again. I don't understand the Bears, but the real loser to me are the Bills. They had to get out of those contracts. I get it. Sometimes the name is bigger than the production. Completely understand. You're still paying Von Miller. You then all of a sudden let go of a lot of players who, again, maybe the name's bigger than the production. You have to still find ways to find production, and then you turn around and give a decent contract to backup quarterback Trubisky. Why? If Josh Allen goes down, Trubisky ain't leading you anywhere. It's like the Colts with Peyton Manning back in the day. If Peyton goes down, we're bleeped. If Josh Allen goes down, you're bleeped. Why are you paying more than a veteran minimum contract to a backup quarterback? Makes zero sense. So to me, the Bills are the biggest loser.
Yeah, I think another contender would be the Cowboys, who I don't think have signed anyone unless I missed it. Yeah. Cowboys could be up there too for just simply not making any moves whatsoever. All right, let's just keep talking free agency because there's nothing really else to talk about when it comes to the NFL. It's obviously the story that we're going to continue to tackle here. You already mentioned kind of that one of your favorite moves is Christian Wilkins signing with the Raiders. Is there any other team or any other free agent signing that has been your favorite so far?
That's been my favorite by far. Like, I don't even think it's close. Him and Max Crosby. I think Max Crosby I saw was the eighth most double-teamed edge rusher or defensive lineman last year. Well, what do? You give him another great defensive player on the defensive line to go with him. A lot more one-on-ones for Max Crosby, a lot more one-on-ones for Christian Wilkins. This is just the best pairing I thought that they could have made. Again, I got to give credit where credit's due. Hate giving the Raiders credit, but they nailed this one. That's my favorite one. Second favorite underrated move, Geno Stone, safety going to the Bengals. The Bengals have a lot of issues. A lot of issues. I didn't think paying a safety was the right move, but then I saw the contract. It was 2 year, 15 mil, something like that. And I go, are you serious? NFL, what are you doing here? Like, he had 7 picks last year. He's been a great safety. He's very young. Again, I'm not saying you build with safeties, as you are well aware, Jesse Bates had a great year last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, I got to give credit. I mean, that's a great contract, a great value contract. So not a premium position, but Bengals, that Geno Stone signing, I thought was very astute.
Yeah, I don't want to keep talking my Falcons too much here, but Darnell Mooney, I think I even talked about it last week. The three things that the Falcons needed was a quarterback, a second wide receiver, and a pass rusher. And within the first 24 hours of free agency, we've addressed two of those spots by getting a quarterback and a number two wide receiver. Drake London's still number one. Darnell Mooney's a great number two receiver to have. Hopefully Kyle Pitts can bounce back and have a good season in terms of production. And just like that, we're looking pretty solid offensively. Already have a top 10 offensive line, get a pass rusher on defense, maybe another corner. I saw Jeff Okuda went to the Texans, so we're going to have to fill that number two corner spot now as well. But that Darnell Mooney signing, which just broke right before we went live, is a big one. But I don't want to talk too much Falcons. I am sitting here in my Falcons jersey. It's a good day to be a Falcons fan. There are other teams to talk about, though.
I will say that the Texans, by the way, you're just bringing them up. You're right. Yeah. Jeff Okuda, it wasn't a very large contract. I mean, quite frankly, that felt like a deal that the Chiefs would make with Brett Veach, right? A former first rounder, third overall draft pick, had his ups and downs. Obviously, he had been injured before. That really kind of knocked him down. But I think last year was a little underrated, right? I think he kind of had a nice little bounce back year. Again, never going to be the third overall draft pick, but you don't have to have him be that. I thought the Texans made a pretty good move there. They brought in Danico Autry as well, veteran player there. I mean, again, that's what the Texans are going to do. They're going to bring in all these veterans, and they can. When you have, again, your two best, three best offensive weapons on rookie deals, C.J. Stroud, Nico Collins, Tank Dell, your two best defensive players on rookie deals, Derek Stingley Jr. and Will Anderson, you got money to play with. I've liked the Texans' game plan. I think they could have even bolstered a little more with some veterans. But again, overall, I think the Texans are probably the third best team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, Azeez Al-Shaair, another good signing by the Texans. A couple of good depth pieces that they've signed so far. Quiet but strong start to free agency for the Texans as well. Let's talk about one of the biggest moves yesterday that broke just a little bit after the Kirk Cousins news, and that's Saquon Barkley to the Eagles. Not just him. We'll talk about the other running backs as well, but the running back market has been a lot stronger than I think either of us assumed it was going to be, and Barkley signing a nice contract there with Philadelphia.
Yeah, the two positions that I thought really surprised me, guard market and running back market. Both those were really strong. You know, John Runyon signing a 3-year, $30 million contract. There was that $100 million guard signing. I mean, the guard prices have just gone through the roof. Great for them. You know, I mean, offensive linemen got to get some love here. But Ian, it makes me wonder, should we put on a whole bunch of weight and try and become guards? Because I'm looking at that money thinking, hey, you know, I'll eat some ice cream.
Yeah.
I'll do it. I'll throw some LBs on. But no, good for the guard markets and good for the running backs. But Saquon Barkley in particular, very good player. But the Eagles have not built this team the way I thought they should.
No, I agree.
Because they're building in the trenches a lot, which good. But now they've put so much into the trenches and they're still going there. I'm sitting here going, that wasn't really the issue last year. Now I get Fletcher Cox retiring, all that, but what about your secondary? What about the linebackers? You keep doubling down on your strengths. Like, running back wasn't the issue last year. DeAndre Swift was really solid last year.
Yep.
And then you release him to overpay a higher price running back. Like, I don't see the advantages here. You didn't use your running back as a pass catcher last year. That's what Saquon really brings to the table. I guess I don't understand. Nice player, splashy player, but it's almost like Howie Roseman's trying to win the name brand signing, not the what's going to actually make the team better. I don't know, man. I don't see the Eagles getting better with Saquon Barkley over DeAndre Swift when you look at the totality of the team and where the other spots they needed to improve at.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think a couple days ago, it's not like we would have said to each other, if Saquon Barkley ended up with the Eagles are all of a sudden back to being, you know, the Super Bowl contenders they were a couple years ago. They have a lot of other holes. You mentioned the secondary. I think that's the number one issue they got to address, and they've made six signings or acquisitions this offseason. Not a single one has been in the secondary. So, yeah, it's a fun player. It's a fun trade. I know Giants fans are upset, but at the end of the day, I don't know if paying, you know, almost $38 million to Saquon Barkley is making the Eagles that much better. DeAndre Swift had a good year last year. Is this an upgrade? Sure, but is the upgrade from Swift to Barkley going to make this team a Super Bowl contender? I don't think so.
No.
It's their secondary they need to address, and they have not done that. Now, obviously, we're 24 hours into it. They still have a long ways to go. We still have the draft coming up. A lot can change, but between you know, yesterday and today, the Eagles have made some signings and some moves, but none that, you know, would make me very excited if I was an Eagles fan.
They're making their strengths better, but they were already there. There are just so many holes on that team. I question if Saquon's even going to be used as a pass catcher the way he was in New York, which, again, Saquon with the ball in his hands is electric, but you got to find ways to get him the ball in space. That's namely through the air. Until the Eagles show they're going to do that, maybe they do. Like Jalen Hurts, maybe that helps take him to the next level is these short swing passes. But again, wait and see.
All right, let's tackle the other running back moves. Aaron Jones released by the Packers, signed with the Vikings. Josh Jacobs signed with the Packers to replace Aaron Jones. DeAndre Swift to the Bears. Tony Pollard to the Titans. And what am I missing? Austin Eckler to the Commanders. Lots of moves for running backs yesterday. Where do you want to start? Josh Jacobs to the Packers?
Yeah, we can start there. Packers releasing Aaron Jones after Aaron Jones took a pay cut to play with Aaron Rodgers, then Rodgers leaves. I feel for Aaron Jones. I'm not surprised he signed with the Vikings. I'm sure he's pretty irritated right now. He's been, I know last year it's a down year with injuries and all that stuff, but when he's healthy, dude is the most underrated running back in football.
Well, he caught fire at the end of the year last year. Like, he was, you know, if you want to talk about Jordan Love, but I think it was Aaron Jones that, like, won that game for them against the Cowboys.
The playoffs! Yeah. I mean, I think Aaron Jones has been perpetually underrated. Like, I understand I'm a guy that says running backs don't matter a ton, but when you are as good of a pass catcher as Aaron Jones is, as good as a dual threat player, and the guy who consistently seemingly breaks off these explosive plays, I don't understand the Packers' game plan here, because Josh Jacobs is very talented. He's younger, but you're paying him a lot more money. And you've liked these tandem running backs, right? The Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon. Are you going to go with a bell cow with Josh Jacobs? Because you've not done that in the past.
Right.
Why go away from something that has actually worked for you while paying a lot more money? I didn't understand that move. Vikings, I think, got a good player in Aaron Jones on a 1-year, $7 million contract. I think that's a good move for the Vikings. Not a lot of, risk there for the Vikings. When it comes down to it, I think Antonio Gibson for $3 million was a nice move. I wish the Chiefs would have made that move for Antonio Gibson for $3 million. Austin Eckler, I think, was a, what was his contract? Did you ever see his contract? I don't think I ever saw that,
2-year, $11.43 million.
Man, I would have liked that for Kansas City too. I think him and Pacheco would have been a great fit. I like that move for Austin Eckler. I've always been an Eckler fan. Again, I value pass catching running backs a lot higher than most. That's my personal opinion. I do not understand the Titans move whatsoever. Tony Pollard has been proven he's best in a timeshare.
Yep.
Okay. But you brought in a running back where we assume Derrick Henry's gone, right? We're assuming
we can assume that with that move, yeah.
So I'm sitting here going, but Tajay Spears showed a lot last year, and his skill set is very Tony Pollard-esque. So what are you doing now? What's the point? If you're going to bring in a running back to pair with Tajay Spears, you should have brought back Derrick Henry, because they're at least a different style. Now you're bringing in a guy whose skill set's the exact same as the guy who's on a rookie contract. That makes no sense to me for the Titans. Maybe I'm wrong here. I don't know your thoughts on the running backs. I know I'm rambling here, but I just felt like a lot of the moves for the running backs, a lot of guys going to the teams that didn't need these guys.
Yeah, I agree with everything that you said about running backs. I think one thing I expected when it comes to running backs in the first day of the offseason, and it was a team we've already talked about, but the Texans, I thought were going to sign a running back. But with all this movement with running backs, none of them went to the Texans. Texans still looking for their guy. So I don't know if maybe that'll be Derrick Henry ends up there with the Texans or someone else that's available.
The Ravens. You said the Ravens, too. I remember you saying like both those two teams. And by the way, Gus Edwards, he left the Ravens to go to the Chargers, which was actually a cheap deal. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So lots of movement with running backs. But, you know, the two teams that we thought would be in the market have not done anything yet in terms of signing or acquiring anyone. So obviously, I keep saying it, we're only one day into it. Still a lot more moves to come. But in terms of being surprised, I think yesterday the most surprised I was just the running market. Several different ways that I was surprised. Surprised by Aaron Jones. Surprised by the Eagles trading for Saquon Barkley or signing Saquon Barkley. Surprised, you know, Austin Eckler was a pretty affordable deal to Washington. Don't know what Washington's doing at quarterback. They signed Marcus Mariota. That could have rolled Marcus Mariota next year. Oh boy. So yeah, a lot of good moves so far. A lot of questionable moves. Joe Mixon to Texans. Is that, did that just happen?
That happened this morning. Thanks, Chris. I forgot about that.
Oh, I missed that.
They actually was a trade. So you know how the Bengals were going to release Joe Mixon? They did not release Joe Mixon. They were able to find a trade partner, Mixon, to the Texans.
Okay. I did miss that. That's, there you go. So Texans do have their guy like that with Joe Mixon going there.
But the Giants now have an opening. Dallas has an opening, right? I mean, is Rico Dowdle your guy? Is Deuce Vaughn going to be the tandem? I mean, the Cowboys have had a really good running back tandem, or at least a guy, for a while now. That's interesting. I wonder if Derrick Henry now becomes a viable option for them. We'll see.
In terms of the wide receiver market, T. Higgins signed the franchise tag there last week, but he has now apparently requested a trade from the Bengals. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch. Will the Bengals end up trading him? Does he end up just staying with the Bengals? What are your thoughts on T. Higgins?
Yeah, T. Higgins, again, I will say, just because you and by the way, yes, Chris, the Giants did sign Devin Singletary. I'm not the biggest Devin Singletary guy. It was a 3-year contract, fairly lucrative, but I'm not the biggest Devin Singletary guy personally. But yeah, when it comes down to
T. Higgins.
T. Higgins. Sorry, I got off track with Devin Singletary. Yeah, dude. Just because you want to trade doesn't mean you're going to be granted one. But also, this is what I told all Bengals fans who were like, we're going to run it back with a healthy Joe Burrow. First off, running it back from what? You haven't won a Super Bowl. What are you running back? You got to win something first.
AFC championship.
And two, it's when you sign a franchise tag, you're, in my opinion, in today's NFL, you're just as likely to be traded. These guys don't want to play on this, especially a wide receiver at that age who understands, if I get hurt, if I don't have a good year, I'm boned. If the Bengals say, hey, I'm just going to throw to Ja'Marr Chase, which is a real possibility, and he goes for 800 yards, he ain't making $25 million AAV for 4 years. He wants to hit the market now. I get that. I think he gets traded. The Bengals need draft capital. They're not known for being the most the owner does not open up his pocketbooks the way that other owners do. I would be surprised if T. Higgins is there week one.
Speaking about a wide receiver trade involving an AFC North team, Jerry Jeudy, which was kind of the first news to break before free agency, that broke on Saturday, I believe it was. Jerry Jeudy to the Browns. Does that do anything for you in terms of making the Browns a bigger contender in the AFC North? Because even though they made the playoffs this past season, if you look at like the betting odds, they're like a long third place option to win that division at like 4-1 to win the AFC North with the Ravens and Bengals well in front of them. Does Jerry Jeudy become the player that we all expect him to be when he's drafted as one of the top receivers in the draft a few years ago out of Alabama? Or is it going to be more of the same from him in Cleveland?
The answer to your first question, no. But the second part, I think he'll be a little better because Amari Cooper's there. Like, I think that's going to draw a lot of attention to Amari. Now Jerry Jeudy can get a little more one-on-ones, less attention, because there's a lot of pressure on him in Denver. There was. especially as his tenure progressed there, everyone's like, well, why is he not the guy we drafted in the first round? Why is he just being a below average? I don't think he's great. Like I the Chiefs, if they would have gotten for a fifth and a sixth, I probably would have said, sure. But that's about all I would have given up. Like that's what the deal was. And let's be real, a fifth and sixth was not going to get it from Kansas City with their version of a fifth and sixth. And also it's the Chiefs in Denver. It wasn't going to happen. I think a new place, change of scenery. And again, having Amari Cooper on the other side will help him. Known as a great route runner. I got to see it in the NFL. It's great when you do it in practice. I'm tired of seeing him in with no pads on. Everyone's like, oh, look at him. Look at his route running ability. Do it in a game. Like, I don't give a hoot what you do in practice or what you did at Alabama. Do it in the NFL. We'll see. But also, Deshaun Watson now has even less excuses. I mean,
yeah, that's my big takeaway from it. Yeah.
I mean, again, I don't think Jerry Jeudy's a legit like stud, but I don't think he's a bum either. If Deshaun Watson has another bad year, this will go down as a worse deal than Russell Wilson.
Yep. Yeah, it's put up or shut up time for Deshaun Watson because his numbers have not even come close to the numbers that he was posting in Houston. And then you could have said, hey, maybe he hasn't had the best weapons in the world, but now next season you're going to have Amari Cooper, you're going to have Jerry Jeudy, you should have a healthy Nick Chubb. He has no excuses this next season. So it's especially after what we saw Joe Flacco did with those weapons, which was quite a bit better than what Deshaun Watson was doing. So
correct.
Yeah. My big takeaway from this, I still don't think Jerry Jeudy is the guy. Maybe he slightly improves a little bit. PFF had him as like the 62nd ranked wide receiver this past season, which, yeah, probably sounds about right. But it does give Cleveland a nice number two receiver, and it's gives them an opportunity to really evaluate Watson and whether or not they just want to, you know, throw in the flag with him or if he's going to be their guy moving forward, because no excuses anymore.
I do want to talk about Denver very quickly. Mm-hmm. I think they made the right move to get anything for him while also realizing he's not going to fit into the future here. Like, he's not a future part of this team. He's not a wide receiver one. We got to rebuild. We got to tear down Russell Wilson. Obviously we thought no chance to get out of that contract. Dead cap of 85 plus, more than the next two highest dead cap hits combined in the NFL history. They did it. I mean, whatever your thoughts are on the Broncos, the fact that they're at least realizing their mistake and saying, all right, let's just tear this entire thing down and start from scratch. I think it's the right move.
Yeah.
It's the right move because now maybe they get a top three draft pick. Maybe now they get a top five draft pick. Where if you stick with Russell Wilson and Jerry Jeudy and all these guys, you're going here, okay, you win six games. You maybe win seven games. You're middling. You're stuck there and you're not getting the highest draft pick possible. I think this was a good move for Denver to just tear everything down.
Yes, I agree. It's better just to fully dive into a rebuild than kind of stick a toe in the waters of rebuilding. Other quarterback news, Mac Jones to the Jaguars. The Mac Jones era in New England is officially over. He'll now back up Trevor Lawrence. Does that do anything for you?
I think this goes to the running back market as well. What? Like we keep talking about, every single team, they're like, yeah, it makes sense him going here, or this guy going here. And then you see a team that's like, what? Why? Why Mac Jones to the Jags?
I think it shows they actually don't have a ton of faith in Trevor Lawrence, to be completely honest, because now they have a guy where if Trevor Lawrence has a bad first half of the season, they have another guy they can toss in there to see if it's any better. That's right. Actually what I think it is. I think it's a lack of confidence in Trevor Lawrence, which
talent or health
might be correct, because I know this guy's a first overall pick. His when he's playing at his best, he looks like an elite quarterback, but he barely ever plays at his best. A lot more often he plays near his floor, which is not what you need at a quarterback. Especially after last year, the Jaguars blew it down the stretch. They had, you know, a stranglehold on the AFC South and then just completely missed the playoffs entirely. So
I think Trevor Lawrence got injured, too. I mean, let's be again.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, I'm not a Trevor Lawrence guy at all. Like, you know, I think that he's the most overrated quarterback in football.
Right. But, so then you agree with my main point that I think this shows.
No, because Trevor Lawrence's floor is better than Mac Jones' ceiling. Like, if they would have brought in.
Maybe.
I think Mac Jones is one of the worst quarterbacks in football.
Okay. Well, interesting. The Patriots has, to be fair, and I don't really love using this argument of not having any weapons, because a good quarterback should be able to make weapons out of his players that he has around him. But he had nobody in New England his entire career. Nobody. Sure. Receiver is who? Kendrick Bourne's.
But if you can't separate, or if you can't tell that if Mac Jones is better than Jake Browning, Gardner Minshew, Marcus Mariota, if you can't tell if he's better than Bailey Zappi, I don't even think if we know he's better than Bailey Zappi. If you can't tell if he's better than those guys, then you might as well just bring in a veteran backup quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, again, I'm sorry, but I think Mac Jones is going to go the way of Josh Rosen. Sam Darnold might be getting another opportunity. We'll see. But I never understood the draft pick originally. I never understood the hype of him coming out of Alabama. It felt very, sorry, system quarterback. Felt very like, okay, he's only putting up numbers because it's Stetson Bennett. Like, he looks like Stetson Bennett. That's what I always thought.
Yeah. All right. Fair enough. You mentioned Sam Darnold to the Vikings.
I don't hate it. Don't love it. I don't have a feeling about it. It looks like he's probably the starter as of now.
Right. Hey, we'll see, because I had a lot of people in my mentions during the 49ers run telling me that Sam Darnold is actually better than Brock Purdy. So I need a bookmark who those people are to see, you know, to go to them here when Sam Darnold and the Vikings start off like 0-4 next year.
Yeah, I had a funny tweet. I didn't say he was better. I didn't say he was better.
I know there were people out there that told me that he's better than Brock Purdy. Like, in the first half of the first two playoff games, when Brock Purdy wasn't, you know, at his best, people were like, put in Sam Darnold, which is insane. Well, we'll see. If he's going to be the starter now in Minnesota, we'll see. Because he got weapons. He got Justin Jefferson. You got Aaron Jones now. We'll see with Sam Darnold. We'll see. Brian Burns to the Giants in a trade. Giants fans upset they lost Saquon Barkley, but then very happy a little bit later by getting Brian Burns. I think this is the last major kind of signing or deal so far to talk about. This is a trade, obviously. What'd you think about this?
Yeah, man.
It's a scary defensive line now for the Giants. They absolutely have a pass rush.
I think the Giants made the right move. They're building on their defense. They have no quarterback still. I don't think they believe in Daniel Jones. If you saw that report that came out, was it last week? I think. But I like Brian Burns. The issue is you got to pay him a lot of money.
Yep.
And you look at what his numbers are in relation to, let's say, for example, Frank Clark. Are you getting the best 4 years of his career that he's already had him, and that this is who he is? Because I think a lot of people are sitting here going, well, Brian Burns is young. He's going to elevate and all of a sudden get a lot better. Maybe, but his career and my opinion of him is very Frank Clark. Like, I think he's a good player, but some team like the Giants, they're going to make him paid like he's an elite player or a great player. And I just don't think he is.
Yeah, I don't know. The Giants have a lot of other issues. Obviously, it's good to build a defense, good to build a pass rush, but it's hard to get excited about a defense when you have literally nobody on offense. I think they're going to be forced to go with Daniel Jones next year, unfortunately. So,
yeah, I mean, a second rounder, a fifth rounder in 25, $150 million, 87.5 guaranteed. I mean, so what you're looking at, basically a three-year contract at a minimum. 3 for $30 million. I mean, that's just way too much, in my opinion, for Brian Burns.
Yeah, and I mean, Brian Burns gets a lot of hype. I mean, once again, I do sometimes reference PFF rankings. It's certainly not the be-all, end-all, but according to PFF, he was a 37th-ranked edge defender this past year.
I think he's probably better than that, but again, he's a really good player. He's a good player. I just don't think he's elite, and they are paying him like he's elite. Again, the reason why I say this is because he's very similar to Frank Clark. I feel like a very similar, very production-wise. Let me give you a couple numbers right now, and You tell me again, this is horrible analysis. I get it, but it's the easiest one right here. Just sack numbers. I know it's horrible, but that's the easiest way. I think both are decent against the run. Frank Clark was really good against the run. Okay. So at least he has that going for him as well. You tell me who's who. First 5 years, 7.5, 9, 9, 12.5, 8, 2 Pro Bowls. Let's go to 10, 9, 13, 8, 6, 2 Pro Bowls. It's Brian Burns, Frank Clark, 2 Pro Bowls.
Right. Second one's Frank Clark, right?
Yeah. I left out Frank Clark's rookie season because he had 3 sacks. He didn't start a single game. But all those double digit sacks, the 10 and 13, well, they came when he was in Seattle. That's just my concern with Brian Burns, a guy who's perpetually around those numbers, had 1 year of double digit sacks, but it's around the 8-9 range, and you're paying him like he's a 15, 16 sack kind of guy. That's my concern.
Yeah, I do agree. I think overhyped and overpaid, unfortunately. Good player, but we will see. All right. I think unless there's any other moves, Gabe Davis to the Jaguars or something else that happened, I guess that probably means they're moving on from Calvin Ridley.
Gabe Davis is younger, but my meter of if it's a good move or bad. When the team that doesn't bring back said player is thrilled, you should have caution signs, because when Bills fans are sitting here like, oh, finally moving on from Gabe Davis, I'm so glad we didn't give him that contract. If you're a Jags fan, you can't be pretty excited about that.
Right. Yeah. So next big free agents to sign, Daniel Hunter, I think, is the number one pass rusher. If the Falcons sign him, we've addressed all three of our major issues and we haven't even reached the NFL draft yet. I might be getting a little bit greedy. A pass rusher from the Vikings would probably be number one. You got Calvin Ridley still out there. DaQuan Jones, Patrick Queen is an interesting one. DaQuan Jones
just re-signed with the Bills as of the show starting.
Oh, okay. There you go. So that's done. I had Darnell Mooney on the list. He signed with the Falcons right before we went live. Tyron Smith, Justin Simmons, Chase Young, Josh Reynolds. I was thinking if we didn't get Darnell Mooney, I would have taken Josh Reynolds for sure. But obviously probably don't need him now in terms of the Falcons. Jadeveon Clowney. Any thoughts about any of those players? Any other thoughts about any other remaining players that you hope the Chiefs design maybe?
Tyron Smith's the guy.
Yeah.
Left tackle. He said he's not going back to the Cowboys. He's an elite left tackle when healthy, and that's the issue. He's not played a full season in like 5 years. It's been insane. But if there's any team who can weather the storm of that, who can take the risk, it's Kansas City, because you have Wanye Morris, who has shown, again, I'm higher on Wanye than most, because I always think left tackle, tackles, defensive line, year one to year two is the biggest progression for them. When they're a rookie and you at least see glimpses of them being good, that's going to be more of the norm. The bad is going to start getting washed out, and that's going to be more of the rarity. So you saw a lot of highs and lows from Wanye Morris. Again, I think you see more of the highs and less of the lows. But if you don't trust him to be the starter this year at left tackle, you bring in Tyron Smith. If he plays 10 games, well, that's great. You got 7 games of Wanye. Like that, that's kind of my thought process here. They did it last year with Donovan Smith. It worked out. Do it again with a better left tackle in Tyron Smith, because when he is healthy, he is absolutely still elite. I don't think there's a lot of teams around the NFL that can afford to take the risk on a oft-injured player. The Chiefs are one of the few teams that can. That's the guy I want the Chiefs to take a look at.
What about a receiver? Does Calvin Ridley or Josh Reynolds do anything for you at receiver for the Chiefs, or do you think just wait for the draft?
Calvin Ridley, no, because I think he's going to get paid. He's 1 year younger than Mike Evans, but yet we're still talking about Calvin Ridley with potential.
Is he only that, 1 year younger than? Yeah, it's, that, yes. That is kind of funny.
That's bad.
I would have guessed he was like 4 years younger.
So that's why I think I'm out on Calvin Ridley, because I don't like guys that we're still talking about potential. I think he's a good player, but again, I think he's kind of like Brian Burns to an extent where he's going to get paid like an elite wide receiver. I don't want that. I also see that New England has been pushing to sign Calvin Ridley. I do see that he's also wanting to stay in Jacksonville. So take that as you will. I think Josh Reynolds intriguing. I think Kendrick Bourne would be intriguing if he's still out there in the market. I think draft's the way to go, though, man. I think that's what you have to do. You have to, because I think Rashee Rice is going to be a back end top 32 player this upcoming season. 32 wide receiver, obviously.
Breaking news.
Yeah.
Derrick Henry is expected to land with the Ravens.
Hey, we got that one right.
2 years, $16 million deal worth up to $20 million with $9 million guaranteed.
So basically a one-year deal with a second-year option. $9 million guaranteed. Well, Ian, you and I got one of these right.
There you go. That was the move we expected, and there's a lot of other running back moves that came first, but we did eventually get that one right. So Derrick Henry to the Ravens, Ian Rappaport, 50 seconds ago.
Hmm.
There you go.
It's good for the Ravens.
Likes it for the Ravens.
Yeah. They're a very run-heavy team. He has mostly stayed healthy. They don't really pass a ton to the running backs. Derrick Henry's on a pass-catching running back. He's very physical. Imagine him and Lamar being a defensive end going, do I have to be quick and go for Derrick Henry right away or else I'm going to get trucked? Or do I have to go to Lamar where he's going to shake me out of my boots?
Yeah, I get trucked by Derrick Henry for three quarters and then you have to chase down Lamar in the fourth.
Yeah, that's dangerous.
Yeah, that's a great signing all around. All right. I think that's pretty much it. I'm just trying to see if any other breaking news has come out since we went live. I don't think so. Someone tweeted 3 hours ago that the Falcons were going to sign Darnell Mooney today and that they're in talks with Daniel Hunter. And then the Mooney one came true. So maybe Hunter coming up. All right. Sterling, any final thoughts?
I'm happy for you. Thank you, Ian.
This is when you cheer for a bad team, this is the only time that you can really feel happiness is in the off season when you can land a couple of guys or like get a top draft pick. It's the off season is for us bad teams. You Chiefs fans, just relax. You're going to be in contention again next year. You'll sign a couple depth pieces. It'll all be good. You have Patrick Mahomes. Just take a backseat for now. This is when us fans of bad teams get to be excited because we're not going to be excited in December. We're not going to be excited in January and certainly not February. Right now is our time for excitement and hope because we don't get much of it during the season. Except for this year, the Falcons will because we're going to the Super Bowl. Falcons Chiefs Super Bowl, yes or yes?
Yes.
Perfect.
I would love that because that means the Chiefs just three-peated.
Be great for the show. Be great for the show. All right. Thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to the Stack in the Box YouTube channel. Rate and review the audio version of this podcast. Follow us on X/Twitter at Ian MacBets and at HomestretchKC. Good luck to all your teams in free agency. We'll be back next week to talk more free agency and start to break down the draft because I think we're, a month away from the draft? Maybe a little over a month away. So draft talk coming up soon as well. Take care. Talk to y'all next week.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.